Hello, and welcome to the Journey Church podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we invite you to check out The Journey live at one of our three Manhattan locations, including The Village, the Upper West Side, and the Upper East Side. Visit journeynyc.com for service times and directions. Now let's join lead pastor Carrick Thomas as he teaches at The Journey.
Hey, well, welcome once again to The Journey. I'm Carrick, and I'm excited that you're here today as we continue with our financial fitness teaching series. And what I want to do today is I want to look at, just as if you want to be physically fit, you've got to develop certain habits to get there, like exercising, eating right, getting enough sleep. There's certain biblical financial habits that you need to develop in your life if you want to become financially fit. And that's what I want to focus on today. And if you haven't yet, I want you to find your message notes. They look like this. Go ahead and grab those along with a pen so that you can take notes along the way. And as you're doing that, you know, Jesus says in the Bible something very interesting about money. He says that our spiritual lives are tied very closely to our financial lives. In fact, he says that money is a spiritual test. And I want you to think about that for a moment. If how I handle my money, how I manage my money, is a spiritual test, that means that I'm either passing or failing that test right now. And so I want you to think about it. Are you passing the test? How do I know if I'm passing the test? How do I get to where I can pass the test? I want to look at that today. You know, we all at some point in our lives have to take a physical fitness test, right? Do you remember? You remember those maybe in school? I remember when I was in college. I played football at Furman University, and I was a wide receiver. And I remember the first day of camp every year, we would show up at fall camp, and we had a running test that we had to pass. As a receiver, I had to run 20 110-yard sprints in less than 15 seconds with only 30 seconds recovery time between each one. That was a hard 20, 110-yard sprints. That was tough. And you had to work. If you wanted to pass that test, you had to work hard all summer. Now, trust me, you wanted to pass that test because if for any reason you didn't make your time, then for the next 2 weeks of two-a-day football practices, you had to show up at 5 a.m. before the first practice and run with the coaches. And you did not want that. You wanted to pass that test. And the reason they tested us and made us do those sprints was because, number one, they wanted to make sure that we were in shape, right? And so they tested us to make sure that we were in shape. But the other reason we ran it is they wanted to test us to see if they could trust us. They tested us to see if we cared enough about the team, if we cared enough about what we were doing, that we would put in the work during the summer, that our heart was with the team, that we would work hard enough to pass that test so they could trust us to play us in the game. Now, thankfully, Jesus doesn't make us run 110-yard sprints, right? We can all agree to that. But the Bible is clear that money is an important test of our spiritual fitness. And you see, just as my coaches use sprints to see if they could trust me to play in the game, I think it's true that Jesus looks at how you and I handle money to see if we can be trusted with greater spiritual responsibilities, to see how spiritually mature we are, to see if we can be used and blessed by God. In fact, if you have your notes, look at the first verse at the top of your notes. Jesus is speaking about money. Luke chapter 16, verse 11. Let's begin today by reading this out loud with a lot of enthusiasm, beginning with, if you are you ready? Go. If you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? Now think about that. This is the test. Jesus says, look, if I can't trust you to manage something as basic as money, how can God trust you with the true riches, with spiritual wealth? So Jesus isn't saying that money is the most important thing. He's saying the exact opposite. Money is one of the least important things. But if you're not faithful with money, if you can't be trusted with money, how is God going to trust you with the things that are more important in life, with spiritual wealth? Now think about it. According to Jesus, the amount God is able to trust you and bless your life is to a large degree determined by how you handle the material blessings of life. And if you're not good at managing the money that God has already given you, Jesus says then you're not responsible enough to be entrusted with the more important things, with God's purpose and plan for your life. And so here's the big question. How do I pass God's money test so that I can be entrusted with the more important things in life? And so today we're going to look at five financial habits from the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament that are the key to your financial fitness and to you passing this money test. Now, the book of Proverbs is found in the Old Testament, and it's a book of wisdom. And it's written, a lot of it was written by King Solomon. And here's the truth. If we fail to develop any one of these habits we're going to talk about, you're going to feel the pressure. If you don't have these habits in your life, you're going to feel the stress and the worry that comes from living outside of God's will. But if you'll apply these biblical habits in your life, you're not going to have to worry about whether you're going to pass this money test, because you absolutely will. You will pass the test, and it will open the door for greater blessings that God has waiting for you. And I just want to be clear as we begin. This is not about how much money you have, whether you have a lot or you have a little, but it's about how you manage, how you handle the amount that you have. And for some of you, you aren't financially healthy right now. There's some of you here, you desperately need this message. You're stressed out about your finances. Maybe you're in debt. Maybe you're having a hard time making ends meet. This message is going to be like a lifeline to you, because these principles are going to help you, I think, turn the tide, to turn around and get on God's plan when it comes to your finances. Now, some of you, you're doing well financially. You're not under pressure. You're not under stress. I want you to use this as sort of a financial checkup, because none of us, myself included, are perfect at these. And so as we go through these habits, there may be one or two, three small things that you can tweak so that you can better be in alignment with God and be more fully blessed by Him. And so let's jump in and look at this first financial habit. Five habits for financial health. Here's the first one. Write this down. Number one, keep good records. Write that down. Keep good records. This is the habit of accounting. Now, accounting starts with knowing what the numbers are. Because here's the truth. If you don't know what your financial numbers are in your life, you won't know the truth about your finances. And Proverbs addresses this directly. In Proverbs 27, beginning in verse 23, it says, riches can disappear fast. How many of you can attest to that? It's true, isn't it? Money, you don't know where it goes. It just comes and it goes. It can disappear fast. And so what's the solution? Look at what it says next. So watch your business interests closely. Know the state of your flocks and herds. You see, in those days, a lot of people were shepherds, and so their assets were tied up in sheep. And so God says, know the condition of your flocks. But just as easily today, He might say to you, know the condition of your stocks. You know the condition of your bank account. Know the condition of your finances. Know the truth about how you are doing. And the idea is to know where your money is coming from, where it is, and where it is going. Because if you find yourself saying, I just don't know where my money's going. I don't know where my money went. That's a giant warning light that you're in trouble, that you're not keeping good records. See, this begins with just knowing the truth. How well are you doing financially, really? Here, I left you some space in your notes. Here are four simple facts that you need to know about your finances. I want you to write these down. Four things you need to know. Number one, what I own. Write that down. What I own. What do you own? How much do you have in your bank accounts, your possessions, and you have invested in the stock market? You need to know, what do I own? You need to know that. Number two, what I owe. What I owe. So I need to know what I own, then I need to know what I owe. My debts and my liabilities. And here's the thing, a lot of you know, I owe a lot, but you don't know exactly how much, right? And you don't know exactly how much because you're afraid. You don't really want to know, because it's going to be depressing. It's going to be scary. But until you know what you owe, you can't make it better. So I need to know what I own, what I owe. Number three, I need to know what I earn. What I earn. A lot of people don't know that. And see, I'm not talking about what is your annual salary. And see, it doesn't help to say, hey, I make $50,000 a year. You need to know, how much do you make every month after taxes? How much do you literally bring in that you have to spend and invest and do things with? And you need to know that before you can plan out how you're going to spend. So what I own, what I owe, what I earn, and then number four, where it goes. That's the fourth thing. Where does it go? And I'm going to talk about this in a moment, but you need to have records and an idea of where that money is going each month. But it starts with keeping good records. So you have to write it all down. Now you might say, well, I don't know how to do this. Well, listen, there are a lot of simple programs out there that will help you. There's a classic Quicken. You can get that. It'll help you with it. There's Mint.com that a lot of people use on their smartphone. Dave Ramsey has this program called EveryDollar.com. But it doesn't really matter. You could get an Excel spreadsheet, a journal. You could do it the old-fashioned way and literally balance your checkbook and keep account of it there, just so long as you write it down and do this. Now, you might say, well, Carrick, I don't have time to do this. Let me ask you, Do you have time to worry? Do you worry about your, if you have time to worry about money, you have time to write it down and know. And here's the truth. If you would write it down, you would have a lot less to worry about and it would save you time. And so write it down. Proverbs 23:23. It says, get the facts at any price. Turn to the person sitting next to you and say, get the facts. Get the facts at any price. And after you say that, I want you to open your notes to the inside. So the first habit for financial health is keep good records. Here's the second biblical habit we find in Proverbs. Plan my spending. Plan my spending. Now, this is the habit of budgeting. Now, by the way, if you don't like the word budget, I know some of you get a chill down your spine when you hear the word budget. Think of this as setting financial goals each month. See, I think you really have to set some monthly financial goals and stick to them. And here's why it's so important. Look at our next verse. This is our memory verse for this week, Proverbs 21:5. And let's read this one out loud together as well, beginning with plan carefully. Are you ready? Go. Plan carefully and you'll have plenty, but if you act too quickly, you will never have enough. Now, I don't want you to miss this. Your financial fitness isn't based on how much you earn. It's based on how you spend what you earn. And I want you to think about that. He's talking about planning here. Your financial fitness isn't based on how much you earn. I've seen people who earn very little who are financially healthy. I've seen people who earn a lot who are financially unhealthy. It's not based on how much you earn. It's based on how you spend, how you use what you've earned. See, if you don't know how to live on less than you're making now, what makes you think that you're going to live on less than you're making when your income goes up? You won't. Because you know what you're doing? You're beginning the habit now of living on more than you make. Look, financial fitness isn't, well, if I could just make this amount of money, then I'd be okay. No, you won't. Because financial health doesn't come from making more. It comes from spending less, spending wisely. This is the habit of budgeting. In fact, go back up to our memory verse. I want you to underline those three words, act too quickly. Would you underline that? Those three words, act too quickly. You know, what does that mean? That's impulse buying. Impulse buying is unplanned spending. It's based on emotions. It's buying something without thinking. Have you ever bought something either online or at the store and you bought it and immediately afterwards you felt this wave of regret? And you thought to yourself, I can't pay for this. This is way too much. I shouldn't have spent this. I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. I don't really need it, but I bought it. And that's impulse spending, where you bought on emotion without thinking. And I want you to look at what the Bible says. The Bible says you bought impulsively then, and if you act quickly like that, you'll never have enough. In fact, our next verse is pretty strong when it comes to the language. If you look at it, Proverbs 21:20. Look at what some of you are reading ahead. You can see it. It says, stupid people spend their money as fast as they get it. Wow. This is God's IQ test. You know, how smart, how intelligent are you? Well, the Bible's saying if you're spending everything you've got as soon as it comes in, there's a word for that. And it isn't smart. It's stupid. And another translation says you're foolish if you do that. And by the way, here I want you to understand, I'm not talking about if you're in a situation where you've lost a job and you have no money coming in. I'm talking about those of us who have incomes but are spending constantly more than we have coming in. The Bible says that is just stupid. So how do you break this habit of impulsive buying, of spending more than you've got? Well, it comes when you create a budget that tells your money where it's going to go. A budget is simply planned spending. A budget tells your money where you want it to go instead of at the end of the month wondering where it all went. You know, for some of you, it means saying, you know what? I guess I don't really need cable and Amazon and Netflix and Hulu and Sling and then go out and see 10 movies every month, right? It's what a budget says is I've got this much to spend on entertainment and I'm going to make it fit within there. You know, a budget is where you say, I've got this apartment and it's more than I can afford. I'm just going to go out and get whatever apartment I want no matter how much it costs. It's saying, no, I've got this much to spend on an apartment and I've got to figure out a way for it to fit within this amount. When you're doing this, it's saying not, hey, I'm going to go out and eat 15 times out at a restaurant this week. It's saying, no, I've got this much to spend on eating out, and I'm going to make it work within that budget. And so you create a budget. You set your spending. You stick to it. You know what happens? Your stress lowers, and you become financially fit. And so plan your spending. In fact, grab your connection card we were talking about earlier. I want to give you opportunity for two resources. One, this is a big deal with people in our church, knowing how to budget, knowing how to plan and get out of debt. We've got a page on our website that has some resources on how do you create a budget, how do you lay out that in a spreadsheet. If you want to receive more information on the prayer request line, just write the word budget. I'll send you an email this week with a link to that, and you can begin working on the budget. Just write budget there. And then if you see that third next step on the left-hand side, Pastor Chris Brady on our team will be leading a debt-free seminar at the Journey office just a couple of weeks on Tuesday, September 19. And he'll be talking about, if you're in debt, how do you create a budget to get you out of debt? And some of you need to be a part of that. So if you want more information, you can check that box or write budget. And so we got the habit of accounting, keep good records, the habit of budgeting, plan my spending, and then here's the third habit from the book of Proverbs, financial habit. Number three, save for my future. Save for my future. This is the habit of saving. You know, the average American, we talked about this the very first week of this series, the average American who's in debt, that has credit card and student loan debt, has $67,000 of debt. And the average American has $5,200 of savings. So the average American who's in debt has $60,000 more debt than they have savings. That's not healthy and that's not wise. Proverbs 21:20 says, the wise man what?
Saves.
Circle that word saves. The wise man saves for the future. So if we're wise, we save. But the truth is, most of us aren't wise. We aren't saving enough. We're spending it all just as fast as it comes in, on rent we can't afford, on eating out every night, or on the latest gadget that we want to pick up. And why do we do it? Well, we want to keep up with our friends, right? If they're going out, I want to go out. If they've got that kind of apartment, I want to have that kind of apartment. If they're going on that vacation, I want to go on that vacation. And so we spend to keep up with our friends, but what we don't know is that our friends are drowning in debt, and they're absolutely miserable, and the debt is tearing apart their relationships, but we're keeping up with them, and we're experiencing that same stress in our own lives, all because we're trying to keep up. Proverbs 13:11. It says, and by the way, it's interesting the Bible says this. It says, wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears. Wealth from hard work grows over time. Now, hold your finger here for just a moment. This is a side note. The Bible says, beware of quick money, of easy money, of those get-rich-quick schemes. Don't go, what if you had all of that money you spent on those lottery tickets over the years? If you still had that. He says, beware, that's a trap. Instead, the Bible says, gather it little by little over time. Consistent, regular savings. Don't spend it all, but save a little bit as you go. It's the principle of setting aside a little so that you're prepared no matter what kind of storm or crisis comes your way. That's intelligent financial spending and planning that will help you get financially fit. That's saving for the future. Now, let me just ask you, how much are you saving? Anything? A little bit? I mean, do you have a savings goal? If you don't have a goal for savings, set one. And I think a good beginning is to say, can I get to where I'm saving 10% of my paycheck every month? I'm putting 10% away for my future and for what God has in store for an emergency fund. I think that's a good goal. But do you have a savings goal? So keep good records, plan your spending, save for your future, and then across the page in your notes, here's the fourth habit of financial health and stability from Proverbs. Number four, return the first 10% to God. Return the first 10% to God. Now, this is the habit of tithing. And this is, I bring back to God the first 10% of what I make. I do it to honor Him. I do it because it already belongs to Him. He's given me everything that I have. And listen, this is one of the foundational habits of financial fitness, of getting healthy financially, of honoring God with my money. And so let's just take a moment here to review what the Bible says on that. In your notes, you'll see Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. Now hold your finger there for a moment. In the Old Testament, when they talked about tithing, they brought their tithes to the place where they worshiped. In the Old Testament, that was the temple. In the New Testament, it became the church, the local church. And so the Bible says you bring your tithe to your local place of worship, to your spiritual family at the church. Then it continues, if you do, says the Lord, I will open the windows of heaven for you, and I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have room enough to take it in. And I want you to underline these last two sentences. Try it, put me to the test. You know, this is the only place in the entire Bible where God says, it's okay to test me. It's okay to try it. And so God says, you don't believe me when I say that if you honor me with the first 10% of what I've blessed you with, that I will bless you in return. Try it and just see. You see, here's the principle. God says, listen, I've given you 100% of all you have. I've blessed you. So to show where your heart is, that to show that I'm leading your life and not money, to show that you love me more than you love your stuff, bring the first 10% of what I've blessed you with back to me as your tithe. And what that means simply is that if God blesses you with $10, you bring the first dollar back to him. If he blesses you with $100, you bring God the first $10. And then notice the promise. When I tithe, God promises to pour out his blessings on my life. That doesn't mean he's going to make you wealthy, but it means that he'll bless your life tangibly and intangibly. Remember, God has given you everything that you have. Everything that we have belongs to God. It comes from God. So when you're tithing, you know what you're doing? You're not actually giving something to God. You're just bringing back to God part of what already belongs to him. Let me illustrate this for you. Would somebody be willing to bring me a $100 bill? A $100 bill. Has anybody got a $100 bill? Okay. Bring this $100 bill. Thank you. You're really quick. So he brought me a $100 bill. He was fast, right? I'm going to have a good lunch today. I tell you what. Now, do you know why he was so quick with this $100 bill? Because before the service, I went up to him and I said, hey, here's my $100 bill. And I said, I'm giving this to you right now, and I'm going to trust you that when I end the service, I'm going to say, hey, bring me a $100 bill. I want you to bring back to me my $100 bill. And I'm thankful that you brought it back, because he could have just left. I mean, he could have left, and I never would have seen him again. But he brought it back to me. Why did he bring it so quickly? Because it wasn't his. He brought mine. Now, if I said, hey, will you bring me your $100 bill? He might not have been so quick to come up with $100, right? But it was already mine, and so he brought it to me. And that's the principle I don't want you to miss here. When God says, bring it back to me, he's saying, bring back to me what's already mine. I've given it to you. It belongs to me. And then he says, when God says that to you, when he says, bring it back to me, what do you say? What do you do? Do you say, no, God, this is mine. This is mine. I'm not bringing it back to you, and I hold on to it. Or do you say, God, this is yours. This is the first part of what you've given me, and I want to bring it back to you. I want to honor you. Now, why does the Bible teach tithing? Why is this important? Well, tithing is important for three reasons. It takes care of your past, it takes care of your present, and it takes care of your future. Tithing takes care of your past because tithing is a statement of gratitude. When I tithe, I'm saying, God, I recognize that every blessing in my life, my family, my friends, my health, my ability to earn money, everything is from you. And so as a statement of thanks, of gratitude, I'm going to tithe. Tithing takes care of your past. It's a statement of gratitude. Tithing takes care of your present because it's a statement of priority. Because in the present, I'm saying, God, you're in first place in my life. Money is not in first place. My heart doesn't follow money first. It follows you. You're in first place. And so to show you're in first place, I'm going to bring you back the first 10%. This is a statement of priority. And by the way, that's across every area of your life. If you want God to bless an area of your life, then you put him in first place. If you want God to bless your dating relationship, you put him in first place in your dating relationship. If you want God to bless your family, you put him in first place with your family. If you want God to bless your career, you put him in first place with your career. And if you want God to bless you financially, you make sure that he's in first place when it comes to your finances. So tithing takes care of my past with gratitude, my present with priority, and then tithing takes care of my future with faith, with trust. Because I'm saying, God, by tithing, I'm saying that I trust that moving forward, you're going to take care of me. You're going to bless my life. You're going to give me all that I need. Now, let me ask you this. Does anybody, and I haven't planned this, but does anybody have a $10 bill? That's more realistic. Somebody bring me a $10 bill. I just need it. Somebody bring one down front. If you've got one. Come on. I'm not serious. I don't have one planted, but just for an illustration, I need someone to bring a $10 bill. Somebody coming? Who comes down first? Okay. We got a $10 bill. Now stay right here for a second. That's your $10 bill, right? So I'm not just going to take it. I'm going to trade. You take the 100. I'll take the 10. That's right. That's yours. No, he's joking, but that's true. I'm making the trade here. Straight up, you take the 100, I have your $10 bill. Yeah, give him a round of applause. Now, how many of you wished you had beat him down to the front now with your $10 bill, right? You're like, oh man, some of you are gonna come back to the 6 o'clock service tonight and bring a $10 bill. I know what you're thinking there. But that's a pretty good deal, right? I mean, you just traded in a $10 bill for a $100 bill. I want you to see from God's perspective, that's exactly what he does in your life. He says, I'm giving you 100% of every good thing in your life. I've given you. All that I ask in return is that you honor me with that first 10%. Honor me with that, and I will pour out my blessings on your life. That's a pretty sweet deal, isn't it? That's a pretty good deal from our Creator. And I want you to see tithing that way. God says, I'm going to bless your life. I'm going to take care of you. I just want you to honor me. 1 Corinthians 16:2 in your notes. It says, the Apostle Paul wrote this, on the first day of each week, in other words, it's a weekly reminder that God is in first place, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. And when you do, listen, when you do this, when you tithe, it shows where your heart is, that it's with God. And God promises he'll bless your life in return. Instead of stress, you're going to have financial peace. Instead of worry, you're going to have freedom and financial health. And to help you fully honor God, you know, one of the things, we've done this before here at The Journey. It's been a huge blessing. Today I want to encourage you to take something that we're calling the 4-month tithe challenge. And that is over the next 4 months, between now and the end of the year, to say, God, all right, I'm going to test you in this. Remember that the verse in Malachi, it's there in your notes. Only place in the Bible God says, try it. Test me in this. Test me. God says, test. You don't believe that I'm going to bless your life? Try it and see if I don't bless you. And so here's what I want to encourage you to do. Take between now and the end of 2017, 4 months, and say, God, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to tithe these 4 months. And then step back and look and how your life is. See if God doesn't bless your relationships, if he doesn't bless your finances, if he doesn't bless your career, if he doesn't bless you in these areas. Doesn't mean it's going to make you wealthy, but see if he doesn't bring peace to right now where there's worry. See if he doesn't bring peace to right now where there's stress in your life. Let me show you how to do this. On the back of your connection card, on the left-hand side, go ahead and pull that out if you haven't already. Look on the left-hand side, that second next step. This is honor God by taking the 4-month tithe challenge. I want to encourage you to check that box and test God. If you do that, I want to send you a package this week. I'm going to send you a book called The Treasure Principle by Randy Alcorn. I'll send you some verses that you can read about this, and then we'll send you some encouragement along the way as you take this tithe challenge with others in our church. And then do it and see what happens in your life as you test God. So check that box. And by the way, if you're already tithing, great. What I want to encourage you to do is right out beside tithe challenge, check the box and write recommit. Say, I'm doing this, I know I am, but I'm recommitting. Just make that decision in your heart today that I'm recommitting. I'll send you the packet. I'll give you the book as well. I want that to be a blessing for you. But let's get in alignment with God here. Test him and then see what he does in this area of your life. Now, I know it can be scary. I mean, I've never met a Christian who didn't want to tithe, but sometimes it's hard to adjust our lives. But if you'll do that, God will bless you. And let me encourage you, as you take this challenge, don't just say, I'm going to wing it. I mean, grab that offering envelope that is in your program. And today, if you're serious about this, I want you to automate your giving. Say, I know I need to give X amount, and just say, you know what, I'm going to do this. My tithes, I'm going to write that there. I'm going to give weekly or monthly or twice a month. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to automate this for the next 4 months, and I'm going to see what God does in my life. We've done this before in our church, and the stories we've heard have been absolutely incredible. People who were nervous at first but took the challenge and then were just blown away by how God blessed them. And I wanted you to hear one of those stories today. So take a look at this.
Hi, my name is Dara Barnes. I am a member at The Journey. I do assistant producing with Beast TV right in Union Square. I decided to take on the 4-month tithe challenge back in June. And in doing that, I have learned how to trust God with my finances. And I have also learned a lot about myself, one that I'm a bit more attached to money than I realized. In the second month of the tithing challenge, I found myself in a really big financial dilemma. It was a week before my rent was due, and I was $400 short. I was terrified. So I asked God for $400 so that I could make my rent payment. That entire week, each day went by, no $400 came. So I had to pay what I could of my rent. My account balance became negative, and then overdraft fees came and it became even more negative. I became really afraid then, but then I remembered, let me just pray, because God promises to provide us with exactly what we need. And I was expecting this miraculous $400 check to appear out of nowhere, when really God had something even better planned for me. So still that week, I was at work, and I was impressed with this idea to contact the federal student loan office about my student loans. And so I called them up, and in talking to this guy on the phone, I learned that I had been paying $100 more towards my loan payments than I was supposed to be each month. It'll take a little while to be processed, so for the next 2 months, you won't need to pay your loan payments. He would grant me forbearance, and that was a total of $400 that I didn't need to pay. I was shocked and blown away, because in an instant, God solved everything. And he did it in a way that was so much better than just the $400 that I asked for. He came up with a long-term solution. I have just learned now that entrusting God with our finances is the most freeing thing that we can do. You know, we can become such slaves to our money, you know, even unintentionally. So to be able to release that burden and give that to God, it feels amazing.
You know, like Dara, Lori and I, we made this decision over 18 years ago when we got married that we were going to be tithers. And it's been such an important part of our marriage, such an important part of our spiritual lives together. So I want to encourage you to take this challenge. Let us know on the back of your connection card. Let's do this together and see what God does in your life. Maybe there's some walls that he'll break down as you honor him in this area. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 9. Here's the promise. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns and your vats will overflow. And so keep good records, plan your spending, save for the future, return the first 10% back to God. And then if you flip over to the back, here's our final habit for financial health. Number 5, enjoy what you have. Enjoy what you have. This is the habit of contentment. Now, we talked about this last week in our combined service, if you were there. This one is being violated all over New York City and all throughout our church every single day, because we're so busy trying to get more and more that we don't have time to enjoy what we've already been blessed with. Ecclesiastes 6:9 says, enjoy what you have rather than desiring, get this, what you don't have. Underline those four words, what you don't have. Then it says, just dreaming about nice things is meaningless, like chasing the wind. Now, you underlined what you don't have. I think it's interesting, because I think it's the what you don't have in life that's causing all this trouble. I think it's the what we don't have that's causing us to violate all these principles we've been talking about, that keeps us from budgeting, that keeps us from saving, that keeps us from giving God the first 10%. It's we're so focused on what we don't have that we're not able to enjoy what we do have. I mean, we live in the greatest city in the world with the greatest people in the world, but we don't enjoy it and we aren't satisfied because we want more. You know, my 16 years of living in New York City, I've seen this pattern over and over again, where your yearnings outweigh your earnings. And so you go and find that apartment that you want but you can't afford. Or you decide you're going to finance a lifestyle you can't afford on your credit card. And now you're overextended and you're constantly having to hustle to make ends meet. And you're working two jobs or you're working really hard and you're burning out. And because of that, your relationships begin to deteriorate. You don't have time for friends and family anymore. Everyone is exhausted and you're on edge. You're angry all the time. You're snapping at people. That's what happens. Listen, you'll never be ultimately satisfied by things, because the greatest things in life aren't actually things. The greatest things in life are people. And we need to learn that lesson now instead of later on after we've burnt some bridges. You know, at the beginning of the message today, I told you about that running test that we had to do in college when we showed up for the first day of a fall football camp, the 2,110-yard sprints that we had to run. It was a test to see if we were physically fit, but even more than that, it was a test to see if the coaches could trust us, if they could trust us enough to play in the games. You see, Jesus teaches us that to God, money is a test. It's not the most important thing, but it's a test to see if we're spiritually fit, to see if he can trust us with the greater spiritual things in life. And so how are you doing on God's test? I want you to use this outline. Take it with you. Let this be a sort of a self-evaluation. As you look back through these, if you're doing well on these, if you're doing well on having a budget or saving or tithing, put a check mark next to those. Say, you know what? I'm doing well on these. But if there are one or two of these that you're thinking, you know what, I'm not in alignment, maybe it's keeping good records, I want you to circle it. And I want you to say, I'm going to come back this week and I'm going to go to work on this, whether it's keeping good records or saving for the future or honoring God with your giving. Decide which ones you need to work on. See if you're passing or failing. And use this as a guide to get you back on the track of financial health. Now listen, if you're feeling financial pressure right now, you're spending it all and you're saving nothing and giving nothing, you're financially unhealthy. And listen, you need to know this. That's pointing to a much deeper problem. Yes, you need to know God's financial principles from Proverbs that we talked about today. But even more than that, you need a leader. You need someone who will lead your life. And his name is Jesus Christ. You see, you may be a Christian. You may say that Jesus is your Savior. But right now, maybe you need Jesus to be more than just a savior, a forgiver of your sins. You need him to be the leader and Lord of your life. You need a life manager. And see, you've got to settle this issue of trust. Are you going to trust that God knows more about money, or are you going to say, I know more about money, God, I'm going to do it my own way? You know, are you going to do what he says and follow these five principles? Or are you going to think that you know better than God does? Are you going to ignore God? My prayer today is that you trust your happiness, your future, your entire life, not in the money that you have, but in the God of heaven. Our final verse we find in Job chapter 31, beginning in verse 24. Let's read it together, beginning with, if I have. Are you ready? Go. If I have put my trust in money and in my happiness depends on wealth, it would mean that I denied the God of heaven. Would you bow your heads with me right now and let's pray together. If you would, bow your head, close your eyes. Let this be a time between you and God. Because I'm going to pray for those of you who are in financial difficulty right now. Listen, I want everybody, if you would, bow your head and close your eyes. I don't want anyone looking around. Because I just want to say this. If you would, if you are under financial pressure and stress right now, and money is causing you anxiety, would you just quickly lift your hand up? Everybody's eyes are closed, head are down. Wow, that's a lot of hands that just went up. That's a lot of hands, a lot of people in this room. Thank you for sharing that. Father, you see those hands. I don't know their individual situations, but God, you do. God, many here are experiencing financial stress and difficulty today. And God, as they commit to your principles, I pray that you would do a miracle in their life, turn around their finances, you know, replace their debt with your light, replace their pressure with your peace. Help them to trust you more than money and commit to these principles. And through you, God, may they see financial health come into their lives. Now, would you just in your heart, whether you're healthy right now financially or not, would you just pray and commit this area of your life to God? Whether you have a little or a lot, let him be the leader in this area. Would you say, God, I trust you in this area. I pray that you'll bless me. I pray that you'll bring peace to this area and health. And for some of you, maybe the financial chaos in your life is a symptom of a much deeper problem. Maybe it's a sign of spiritual chaos. You've never asked Jesus to come into your life and be your leader. And it's not just that you've never trusted God with your finances. You've never trusted him with your life or with your eternity. If that's you, then maybe today for the first time, you want to step across the line and get right with God. And if that's you, just right now, just pray and say, God, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins where I've lived my life my own way. I want to follow you. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Come into my life. Forgive me. God will secure your eternity in heaven, and he will give you a path and a plan to live for. Father, thank you that you care for us and that you take care of us. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.